Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Oh, see here. Here's the question I want to ask. And this, my first question is God letting you down? Is God letting you down? Because I think we feel like God is letting us down a lot. But it's not like we can go to God and stick our finger in his face and say, you let me down. You need to do right by me. We can't exactly do that, can we? So we try and kind of push that down and push that aside, and maybe we put it on ourselves and say, well, maybe I need to do more, and I'm not as straight as I should be, and maybe I got to read more Bible, go to church more, woo-woo-woo, this or that. And we convince ourselves maybe it's on me. If I did more, maybe God would do more for me. We're trying to make that relationship work. But I think we feel that disappointment in God. We don't have any way to deal with that. We don't have any way to work that out. And I think, as all these other pastors were saying, if we don't deal with that honestly, I think we're going to have real problems between us and God. We have to be honest about that. And I don't know if this is true for you in your life, but there was a point in my life where I was stuck in a bad place. And not only did I not know how that was going to work out, I couldn't imagine how it could work out. I mean, I had no way. I mean, someone would say, well, have faith, brother, that Jesus was going to deliver you from your suffering, whatever. You know, there's always that brother. Praise the Lord, and it's going to be okay. Just, you know, I can say, okay, but you understand what I'm saying? I can't even imagine how this is going to work out. I mean, God can make money fall from the sky. I believe that is true. But if he doesn't do that, I don't know what else is going to work for me to pay this bill. You understand what I'm saying? When you get to that place, it starts to get really, really raw. And we have that attitude whether we deserve it or not. Hey, Lord, I've done my part. What's up now? We're thinking it. We don't say that out loud, but we're thinking it. I was thinking it. I'll put it on myself if y'all don't mind. There was a time in my life where, you know, some people say, well, I was in my madness. I did heroin. I did pot. I did this and that. For me, that was the opposite sex was my addiction. Everything else, I could give it up in the afternoon, but, you know. And it came a point where I realized, okay, this is hurting my testimony. This is, I'm not living a godly life in this way. I'm not letting God control this part of my life. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to date anybody till you say that's who I need to date. I'm not going to go out with anybody. I'm going to shut this part of my life down because I need to get it right with you, and I got other things to focus on. And I did that. And there was a point where I felt like this process had run its course and I was ready. And my attitude at that point was, hey, Lord, I did my bit. Where is my woman now? Tell me her address and then I can, you know, because I've done my part. And you know, here's the thing. Doing good has always made me more lonely. Doing good has put me in the minority every single time. If you filled a room full of people and said, okay, everybody wants to do the right thing, go in this next room. It'd be you and another person. That would be it. It's lonely doing the right thing. The vast majority of the world is all trying to do the wrong thing. Maybe they're trying to do the wrong thing the right way. Maybe they're trying to sprinkle it. You know, they're doing the wrong thing. They're cheating on the taxes and messing with the money at work and all this and that. But they go to church on the side, put a little money in the plate, kind of, you know, sprinkle a little Jesus on the side, make it okay. See what I'm saying? That isn't doing the right thing. That's not what doing the right thing is. That's not standing up for what is right. That's not, you know, standing up at that workplace or on that street corner or in that family reunion or whatever the thing is and saying, no, this ain't right. It's not putting your foot down and saying, I'm not going to live this way anymore. It's not When you make that decision, it becomes this defining moment in your life and one of the first things you experience when you do the right thing. And some of you already know what I'm talking about. You look up and you are alone. I mean, it is like it got empty in here real quick. Now, what you will notice if you do this long enough is the people who are around are a whole lot different than the people who used to be around. And that you may have fewer relationships, and that's true, but these relationships are deeper and better and a higher quality. We get to that point where we say, I'm doing the right thing, but I'm all by myself and I got no backup. And where is God in all this, you see? See, we have to get over this addiction that we have to stuff, right? We have to get over this addiction we have to our happiness being from other people. Yeah. I'd say, God, give me a woman, and I'll be happy, and I'll worship you extra because of my woman. And God say, no, you're worshiping the woman. Because she's giving you the pleasure, not me. She's the one that's making your life more fulfilling, not me. All you want is her. You don't want me. You're only dealing with me to get to her. Wait a second. That sounds wrong when you say it. When I say it, that sounds holier than when you say it. It sounds like I'm doing something wrong when you. See, that's God's saying, you want this money, so that money will be the thing to make you happy, not me. You're only coming to me to have the money. You want the job, so you're only coming to me to get the job. He's saying, I got to try and help you understand I'm the thing you got to seek. I will give you everything that I've got. I'll give you peace. You don't need to chase after a drug and take that high and try and get an artificial sense of peace. I'll give you peace right now. Perfect peace. As much as you'll take, I'll give it to you. I'll spoil you with it. I'll drive you nuts with it. You want love? You want joy? You want fulfillment? I'll give you all that without money, without these crazy relationships that are driving you nuts, without all these things that you chase after. Let's look at this verse. Now, this verse is in Hebrews 13, but I'm jumping around a lot. Wherever you see these little little dot, 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 I'm jumping around in that chapter. Whenever we do that, I wanted to encourage you to go back and read that whole chapter for yourself, because we want you to encourage us to keep us accountable always whenever you read that word, because we don't want you to think we're kind of taking something out of context, you understand, or cutting out something. So always do that. Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. These are a list of things he wants us to do. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to welcome strangers. Remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. How about that? And remember those who are treated badly as if you yourselves were suffering. Honor marriage, and we should keep the marriage bed pure. Don't be controlled by love for money. Be happy with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. So we can say boldly, the Lord helps me. I will not be afraid. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about that? He's saying, I've got your back. I will never leave you. I will never desert you. I don't change my mind about you. I don't change who I am. I don't change my promises. When I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And we have to recognize that he's going to keep all these promises true, that he will provide for us. But we have to stop worshiping those things and start worshiping him. Amen? I think, too, we have a problem in working our restoration. When we're trying to change our life, we're trying to live a more fulfilled life, we're trying to live our life in a more healthy way, there are some things we have to do to work the steps on that. You know, I talk to people, and they say, you know, I need to meet a woman, and I need to meet a godly woman, and I've been trying to change my life so I can meet a godly woman. You say, well, okay, what are you doing to meet this godly woman? Well, I go to church. You say, well, okay, that's fine. Well, do you talk to any of these ladies at church? Well, no, you know, I don't, you know. Well, how, you understand what I'm saying? If you're asking God to help you win the lottery, you got to buy a ticket and meet God part way on that. You understand what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean approaching that woman in church the way you used to approach women in the club days ago. You understand what I'm saying? This is a new thing. And if you don't know how to do that, ask one of the pastors that you meet here. Ask one of the leaders here. We can help you figure those things out. But sometimes God is asking us to do something to work that restoration. Maybe he's asking you to go and ask for a job back, someplace where you misbehave. But, oh, no, that's going to hurt my ego. That's going to hurt my image. I don't want to go in there, and they're going to look at me funny. And I, you know, these are the things that hold us back. We're trying to protect our pride, and we're not ready to humble ourselves and walk that path to get fully restored. Let's make no mistake, what you are doing, if you're sitting here tonight, what you're doing, you are walking the extreme path. You're not taking the easy road. That's what everyone else is on. There's nothing easier than you mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. That's the easiest thing there is in the world. I see a woman, I want to chase her. That doesn't require some extra special character on your part to be that. That's what everybody else is doing. What you're doing is going against every instinct in your body, aren't you? Everything in your body says, oh, I smell that crack and I need to get some of that. Every instinct in your body says, you see that woman, you say, I need to forget about this woman that I've already gotten. I need to chase this one. You see that person has a little bit of extra money. You think, I need to do what that person is doing in order to get that money. That temptation comes on you and it claws at you and it scratches at you. But you have put your foot down and said, I'm not going to be that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. That is going against everything, every instinct in your body. And it has to be understood, if you feel tired, if you feel worn out, if you feel exhausted, if you feel grouchy, if you feel grumpy, it's been earned because you're doing the right thing and you're cutting against the grain. Amen? I think that's allowed. I think God's putting up with a little bit of that grumpiness on your part. Let me drive this thing to the hoop. Having relationships, particularly male-female relationships, is not a prize. All right. It's not a prize that you have won. Okay, I'm going to try that again. If you feel as though you're less of a person and less meaningful of a life when you don't have this relationship, and then you get this relationship and it feels like that gives you more meaning in your life and it gives you, makes you something that you weren't before, you're treating that relationship like it's magic. Okay. It'll fix everything. I wouldn't be eating this can of beans if I had a woman. If I had a woman, she would cook for me and glean for me, and little bluebirds would fly around and sing songs, and everything would be perfect, and I would be happy, and this relationship could fix everything. That's what when we get into that mentality, we forget about every other crazy, jacked up, unhealthy relationship up and down this block. We've seen all these other people in. That relationship you're talking about that works like magic is a relationship that you can have with God.
Yeah.
The relationship that you have, the male-female relationship that you have, starts off as a mess. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every young married couple I've ever counseled, you put them in a room together, and they say, we were in love, and then we got married, and it's, how could it not be perfect? And you say, well, no, it doesn't start perfect. You start clueless and have no idea, and it's a mess. You have to have Jesus to make it not that.
Otherwise, it's just going to keep on being a mess. That's life. This is how life works. Marriage takes work. It takes commitment. We got to work. We got to make a marriage happen. It's not just because I love her and she loves me and we get in the same room together and just magic takes place. Because of our love, we have unity and harmony and oneness, and it's so beautiful and magical in everyone's head. That's not life. Life is you have two people who have no idea how to please one another, no idea how to treat one another, no idea what the other person likes and dislikes and how to, and we have to make something out of it. It starts at a disaster. And if you're lucky, you can work into something where we can work together and come together as man and wife and serve the Lord together. That's what male and female relationships are like. And if you wonder why we put in the work that we put into our marriages as saved people, if you see the work that we put in, this is the reason why. It's because these relationships require a massive amount of work. But if you put that massive amount of work in, absolutely, you're going to have that marriage of your dreams. No question about it. No question about it. But it doesn't solve the problems. It brings a whole new host of problems. Last question. Looking back on your life, what sacrifices do you regret making? You've made some sacrifices. You've cut some things out. You've stopped doing some things. Which one do you regret? I don't think you regret any of them. Hard as they were to make, as much as it killed you to walk away from that thing at the time, you look back on it now, and you say, that was the right thing. That was a smart thing. I was good. It made sense for me to do that. And maybe you're even a bit proud of yourself for making that decision, and I think you should be. When you look back at those sacrifices, each one of those sacrifices was a good thing and a smart thing that you made in the time. I want you to look forward at the next sacrifice that God's asking you to make, and I want you to think of it that same way. Amen? We love you. God bless you.